October 31st, 2005. This is Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Let's do this.
Leroy Jenkins.
We should probably put Leroy in there. Whatever. Oh, I got it. You start the news like, but not the noise, dude. Me going.
You want to do that? Originally, we're going to have the closing music be, so, I guess we could do that. Or I could make that sound.
I think that's copyrighted or patented by whatever news
originally
used that.
No, we'll just make it something else. It's just Morse code. We'll make it say something geeky.
Ah. Let's do this in Morse code.
That's real slick. I like it.
All right. We're good. Okay. So, Scalito.
Scalito.
So, personal lawyer didn't cut it, to no surprise. So he picks the most conservative judge he could find in all of the appeals courts.
Samuel Alito.
Yeah.
He's a little conservative.
Little bit.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the Senate's main gripe, at least the Republicans' main gripe with Myers, wasn't that they didn't know about her. It was that she wasn't proven to be conservative enough.
Well, this guy's real conservative, but, you know, you look
he's
at...
He's not real, real conservative. He's. I don't think he's, yeah, states' rights. I think he's more,
Yeah,
Roe versus Wade.
They pretty much call him Scalito when his name is Alito because he's Scalia, too. But if you look at, well, there's a Scalia, however you want to pronounce it. I don't know how the correct pronunciation, I've heard both, but Scalia, I look at his voting record, and like, on a lot of things, he votes the way I want. On a lot of things, he votes horribly, and I don't want him to be alive.
Well, I worry because Susanna Sherry, she's actually a university law professor at Vanderbilt, and she said that he would, quote, allow a lot more government-supportive religion than Justice O'Connor did.
Yeah, that's not good.
See, I'm all down with religion, but I don't think SCOTUS should have any kind of backing for it, or, you know...
You know, the problem here is if they let in just a little bit of religion and not enough. If they let in too much religion, because we'll just fly in there with our flying spaghetti monsters.
Yeah, but if the Supreme Court votes against us, there's no one to appeal to.
Well, no, but the thing is that... If they give someone else, some other religion, some sort of, you know, nudge, then we just run in there and we say we demand the flying spaghetti monster also gets the same nudge.
Yeah, and then we'll do with the, we'll have the schism, the Ramanites.
And the Pastafarians.
But, I mean, he might not get confirmed. The Senate might filibuster until the end of the Bush administration. We don't know what's going to happen.
Mm. Oh, well.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, they found two more moons on Pluto, apparently.
Isn't Pluto, they don't even know if it's a planet or a moon or what?
Because
nobody's decided how big you have to be a planet.
So basically what the news is a tiny rock that's far away from our planet
has rocks,
that has a tiny rock floating around it, might have two more tinier rocks floating around it.
That we couldn't see until recently?
Yeah.
So now this makes you wonder that, like, we can see, like, Jupiter-sized planets at, like, very close stars. How do we know they don't have, like, Earth-sized rocks around and we can't see? If we can barely see rocks around Pluto, these rocks that are infinitely farther away, well, not infinitely farther, but many, many more times farther away, who knows what's going on out there?
Pluto was discovered in 1930. That was a fairly long time ago. Pluto's moon wasn't discovered until 1978. And now in 2005, we discovered two smaller rocks.
Well, in 2050, we should be discovering the mountains of Pluto. And the mountains on the moons of Pluto.
I don't think there are any mountains on Pluto.
No?
I think Pluto is just a rock.
It's just smooth?
I don't think it's big enough to where you could qualify as mountain.
It can't be perfectly smooth. It has to have some hills and craters and things.
Yes, because obviously I was trying to say that Pluto is perfectly smooth. It is made of cheese, and it has people on it.
Cheese isn't perfectly smooth.
Some cheese is. Well, no, nothing's perfectly smooth. It's made of atoms, little quarks bouncing around.
Hey, they could all be crystalline in a perfect grid, and that's smooth.
No, because the grid itself isn't smooth, and there's gaps in it.
It could be really cold. And then they'll be really close together and smooth.
Okay, yeah. So I guess maybe a Bose-Einstein condensate might be smooth.
So was a baby's ass. Bosine condensate? Whatever.
Moving on.
It's Halloween.
Yeah, and I didn't do anything this year.
Me either.
I wanted to carve a pumpkin. I didn't. I was going to go to the parade downtown. I went to a J-Rock concert instead.
So, you know what really bothers me, though?
What?
It's Halloween, all right. It's a good holiday. Like the holiday. Like candy. Like scaring stuff. Like jumping out and going boo, right? Like mischief. Like costumes. Oh, I saw like 3 news stories today about people who think their ghosts are real. And I had to link to Randy like 4 times.
I'll just point out that while I was in the city, it's not really Halloween related, but I saw these ads for psychic detectives. And this is on Court TV.
Court TV?
And
is it a fictional show?
The subscript is, it says psychic detectives. This isn't based on a true story, colon. This is a true story.
Yeah, so we can sue them, right, for the false advertising? Well, I guess it is a true story. Whatever they show really happened. The psychic part was just made up.
Something like that. Something like that.
Randy should buy some commercial time on Court TV.
Of course, there's also a lot of people who are still believing in things like someone's going to put razor blades in the apples they give to kids, or
you know, at least while that's crazy, you could put a razor blade in an apple.
There's no way you could put a razor blade in an apple that I wouldn't see before I.
You'd see it, but you know what? You're never going to see a ghost ever. Not a real one, at least.
Well, hey, if I did, I'd get $1 million out of Randy.
Sweet.
But, no.
With those $1 million, I wonder how many razor blades you could buy. I mean, you could probably just buy a bunch of... if you really wanted to see children eat apples full of razor blades, if you won $1 million, you could just buy children and feed them... and feed them apples with razor blades in them any day of the year.
Roman Polanski, just, yeah.
Who's that?
Roman Polanski is a very famous pedophile who fled the country.
A famous pedophile?
Because he fled the country and he's still out there. They never got him.
Why don't they get him?
Because he's not, he got away.
All right, now how does razor blades and apples relate to pedophilia?
Because you want to do something to little kids.
Not sexual, and I don't want to do it. I was just suggesting it that whoever did want to do it was obviously going about it the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. Though I always wondered, like, say someone actually was putting razor blades in apples, and say somehow you didn't see the razor blade sticking out of the apple, or the hole in the apple where the razor blade was shoved in. Say they're a sicko and they like this sort of thing, like, oh, I love the idea of a kid eating a razor blade in an apple. How would they see the kid eat the... how would they get any pleasure out of it?
Well, I imagine it would be a lot like the old man who tells you to get off his lawn. I mean, he sees you get off his lawn, but he doesn't see you go home and cry to your mommy, even though he thinks about it and laughs. So Bill Gates, he gave like $1 jillion to fight malaria.
A jillion, eh?
Yeah, hundreds of millions, something like 250 million, something big.
Why malaria, of all things?
Well, the thing is, if you actually look at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation thingy, they're always like, we give money to fight the diseases that the poor people have instead of the rich people diseases like diabetes and such.
Ah.
So malaria is a poor people disease. It has a cure. We just need to spend money to give the cure to people who have it and kill mosquitoes. So it's pretty much a sure bet. But I realized why he's doing this.
Huh.
You see, Apple gets in the news with their little iPod video.
Microsoft doesn't get in the news.
Google gets in the news.
Microsoft doesn't do anything that anyone cares about.
Google gets in the news with their Googling. Microsoft Vista gets negative news. So Bill Gates has to go and spend money to fight malaria to get some positive news for the Microsoft. Notice how there's no positive news for any of their products, services?
I saw a thing talking about how Microsoft Office was good. On like a Windows blog somewhere, written by a guy who works for Microsoft once.
There was a guy who was using the Vista beta as his OS, and he talks about they have the ribbon on all the programs now. I don't know about the ribbon. I never actually used it, so I can't comment.
Me either. Well, you know, it's kind of moot because I dumped the Windows. I'm done with that.
Totally dumping the Windows. And you know what? If the ribbon is any good, someone will steal it and make it for the Linux. So speaking of Apple... they sold a million videos in 20 days.
I think it's catching on.
You know, and this is with $2 a video for basically crap TV shows. Some other people would say they're not crap TV shows, but I say they're crap TV shows.
I agree that most of them are crap, but I like certain TV shows.
Well, there are good TV shows, but none of them are available for $2 an episode from Apple.
No, they're not. I can't get my Oz.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show.
Ed Abizi pricked me with an AIDS-infected needle.
Good luck with that. But, you know, imagine if they had, you know, real deal, you know, full on everything. Just put on old things that aren't on TV anymore and charge 50 cents for them. You're making $0 off of them now. You could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of them for no cost.
You can buy all that stuff in DVD box sets that cost a lot of money.
Not everything. There's still a lot of things that haven't made it to DVD box set yet.
Yeah, but a lot of things have.
A lot of things have, but
remember our box set of old crappy Hitchcock movies?
Yeah, but I mean, that actually comes out to be cheaper than the downloading, that box. But, like, BBC's putting the Monty Python full things for download.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I bought the whole DVD box.
So. Well, that was, you got it for a present. You wouldn't have bought it. It was so much money.
I would have bought it for the price they paid for it.
Yeah.
They bought it at, like, Costco, which is kind of like Sam's. All right. So they got it for nothing anyway.
Anything else going on?
There really wasn't much. I mean, I went to the city all weekend, and I didn't really read the interwebs all weekend.
No.
So I kind of missed out on whatever happened. But I did find something cool. It's probably old, but it's cool. It's a website dedicated to spoiling things, like movies and books and anime and whatever.
Oh, so I guess that could be useful, but also incredibly painful.
Yeah, it's really useful. Like, I wanted to find out how a stupid show ended, so I looked like, oh, so-and-so dies and then marries so-and-so.
Hey, if the show, like, are there shows where, like, you see the ending, but you still don't know what happened? Does it explain those?
Yes, yes. Here, I'll go into one.
Go to Evangelion. I want to see what it
says. I'm going into Donnie Darko.
Oh, I saw
that. Everyone's seen Donnie Darko. All right, there's about...
This is a spoiler. Watch out.
All right, it describes in extremely great detail. It doesn't not only spoils it, it explains why what it's telling you spoils it, and then explains in great detail the scenes that actually do the spoiling.
Now, is this one guy writing all this, or is this like a wiki, or what
it's
is this?
It's like a wiki. It acts like a wiki, and it looks like a wiki. I don't think it's actually a wiki.
Are people like, editing it, or
like, it has some stubs, and people are adding entries. Like, there's one listing for every James Bond movie ever. And it says, Bond's right-hand man dies. Bond gets the girl. Another girl dies. He doesn't die, and the villain does die.
Awesome. The coolest thing I saw today was the Jack PC.
Ah, I saw a picture of that thing.
So it's a PC. Well, first, there was 3Com made the hub that you put in the wall.
Yep, and the Switch.
Oh, they made a Switch also?
Yeah, they made the Switch right after they made the hub.
They basically just, you take your outlet out of your wall and you put this hub in there and you run network cable to it and, well, there you go. Or you guess you could cut a hole in the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
They made the Jack PC now, which is just, you cut a hole in the wall. You put this computer, it's, you know, not so big. It fits a hole in the wall. It has a DVI, a headphone in and out, microphone in, I guess, and then 4 USBs.
Huh.
So you just plug the DVI cable to a monitor, you plug in a keyboard and mouse of USB, you have 2 USBs left, you push a button on it, a light turns on, and you have a computer.
I take it it's not that powerful, considering, you know, heating and...
It has a... I think it had a very, very low power embedded AMD-type processor, which is actually still good enough, and the one problem with it is it comes with the Windows CE. The Windows CE. But I imagine if you were mad slick, you could either A, switch up the OS that's in the flash by taking the flash out, reflashing it, putting it something else on there, like a custom Linux kernel.
Uh-huh.
Or if you were extra slick, you could plug in like a USB hard drive to the USB hole and get it to boot off of it.
I've got this USB hard drive sitting there.
On the floor.
Defeating the purpose of having the computer.
It's a lot
in the
easier
wall.
Than having a laptop with a power cable and then a DVI cable and a whole bunch, you know.
It'd be real good for our media box in the living room hooked up to the TV.
Yeah, if you use it, like, dude, check this out. It didn't have a network thing was the other problem.
There's got to be some sort of network thing.
Well, no, you'd have to use, like, a USB, like network card or something.
Someone needs to make one.
I didn't see a network thing on it. There might be an Ethernet hole in the back of it. Like you just put, you have the Ethernet in the wall.
That would make a lot. It could be wireless built in.
Could be wireless built in. I didn't see it though, and I didn't see words saying it. But it could, if it had that. You just wouldn't need a PC in your living room. You plug this thing in, and you just have all the TiVoing, Myth TVing done by another computer, and you just use the Windows CE thingy to do a connect.
Yep, some sort of Samba share, maybe some X-forwarding.
Be like a thin client.
So we realized that it's hard for us to talk about science and tech, even though we made it a bit, because all our good banter comes from us arguing with each other or disagreeing or saying things the other person doesn't know. We agree on science.
I don't see how you could disagree on science, seeing as it's facts.
Yes. I mean, if there's evidence that says X is true, and we both see that evidence, then we both agree that X is true, and our podcast basically goes, hey, evolution is pretty much a fact, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, you see that chair?
Yeah.
What color is it?
Kind of bluish.
Blue? Yep.
Yep, yep. Yep.
See, now, if I had said green, it's not really that entertaining because, well, I'm just wrong.
Yeah, I would say, no, it's blue. And then I'd post a picture on the blog, and then the world would go, oh, it's blue. Maybe Colin or colorblind friend wouldn't, but everyone else.
Sucks to be colorblind.
Especially if you like German board games.
Yeah, especially the camel game.
Oh, God, it's like four different color, like
four pastel. Different pastel camels. It's a good game. Oh, hiccups. What do you do about those in a podcast?
You punch someone squarely in the solar plexus. Come here.
No.
It'll cure him. I guarantee you won't be hiccuping anymore.
You know, actually, science says differently.
What do you science say?
Science says that hitting someone in the solar plexus does not cure the hiccups.
I believe we could conduct an experiment to find out.
Well, you know what? I don't really have any hiccups anymore.
We'll see about that.
We will see, but you know what? Science.
But, I mean, despite the fact that you can't really disagree on science unless the evidence isn't clear enough. Like, say there's not enough evidence for something. And
so you don't have a theory yet. You still have a hypothesis.
Yeah.
So if you have a hypothesis, and I have a hypothesis, I like to say hypothesis.
Yep. The most we can do is
and there's no experiments conducted yet that are conclusive, then who's to say?
Yeah, and we both seek out more evidence.
See, you know how you can disagree on science? If one of the people you're discussing science with doesn't understand science.
Yep, or if someone is stupid.
You know, if you don't understand science, it's the same as being stupid.
Yeah. Or if someone is misinformed, but that gets fixed immediately when you get the facts out. The part of the problem is some people will disagree on the facts, and then therefore they can't agree on a conclusion because they've got the facts wrong to begin with and won't look at actual evidence showing them they're wrong.
The only way to disagree on facts is, number one, if you the place where you're getting your facts from, like if it was a study, you might claim that the study was done improperly.
Yep.
Or two, you just don't like it and you're denying it.
I think two is the biggest part of this.
Two is a pretty big problem.
I mean, America is still debating evolution.
And every other country in the world is laughing hysterically.
I mean, during the original Scopes Monkey trial, so long ago, I mean, we're talking before World War II. Even back then, the French newspapers had headlines like, Americans debating facts, or Americans are stupid, or I could pull up some actual headlines if you wanted me to. It was just, they were making fun of us then.
Yeah, the one thing I heard from another country was this British guy, and he was basically saying how in Britain they're paying real close attention to it. Because they're worried that it'll come over there next. Like if they win in America, that next they'll be coming to Britain trying to win, and they don't want that.
A bunch of Australians who were pro-intelligent design got together because they saw how well it was going in America, and they decided they were going to push it in Australia because I forget exactly how their government is set up, but like their equivalent
it's
of
parliamentary,
minister,
I think.
Yeah, but I mean like the different departments or whatever.
Oh.
But their equivalent of like a minister of education is kind of pro-intelligent design, supposedly. And these people were like, yeah, ID, go. And the government put a blanket statement out saying, intelligent design is not science. It will never be considered. Go away.
Cool. Good for Australia.
Yeah, too bad we can't get some of that here.
Yeah, thing is, though, Australia is like half awesome, half crap.
Yeah, they're real big on the DRM and things like that, but...
You get Nintendo games like years after they come out.
Yep.
Their Game Boy Advances don't work with other people's Game Boy Advance. It's from what I heard from an Australian guy. But I don't know how true it is.
But there's an Outback.
There is an Outback. There are rough and tough people out there. There's great sports.
Yep.
It's clean. It's pleasant to live in. The weather's
nice.
A
lot of skin cancer. You got to watch out
for the
sun. That's
just because the sun, yeah. You know, but...
My grandparents tried to move there, actually.
Well, you need mad skills to move there.
Yeah, they won't just let you move in. You have to prove that you have a skill that they need, and that you'll become gainfully employed, and that you don't have any diseases, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
I actually heard a guy talking today about moving to Australia. He's like, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you need to have a special something.
Yeah.
You need to be like a rocket scientist or something, because they respect science there.
Yep.
U.S., as long as you're not Mexican, they'll let you in, it seems. Or Arabs. They don't like the Arabs anymore.
Yeah, they don't like them so much. They don't like people who look different.
Yeah.
So they're okay with a lot of the white aliens because they look the same.
Oh, no. British people are coming to our borders. Canadians. Oh, they don't like Canadians, though. They just don't know you're Canadian until you say something. Yeah. Canada's cool, though.
I love Canada.
It's just cold.
Yeah, now we need a passport to go there.
I've actually been watching some Dudley Do Right. I love that.
I don't like Dudley Do-Right so much. I was more of a fan of the Fractured Fairy Tales.
Fractured Fairy Tales are good, but you gotta love the Snidely Whiplash. The one that I just watched was so great, because Snidely Whiplash was like foreclosing on these mortgages. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
So, yeah, we got on a tangent. I mean, the point is just that we can't argue about science here, because there's no argument. There's either... something's true or something isn't, or we don't know. And there's no way we could ever disagree, so we can't come up with any way to get banter.
We could probably try to get some sci-tech guests who, you know, maybe know some science we don't know, or are dumb and dumb and dumb and dumb, and they don't understand what we just said. They don't under... So then we can, you know, science them.
Or another angle we could take is we could go the informative route and pick a topic that we know a lot about and talk about it. I don't know how unboring that would be.
Yeah, the thing is also is that we're not experts in any particular area other than computing.
Yep.
At least as far as science. I mean, we know more science than the average person, but you don't know enough about any one science. Like, we couldn't give you a lecture on particle physics.
Yeah, like, but I could talk a lot about quantum physics, but I couldn't talk about it in a way that... There are other people who could talk about it better.
I could talk about quantum physics for maybe about 10, 15 minutes. I'd just tell you everything I knew about it, and that would be it. And that wouldn't be exciting or anything.
Wasn't there a time when you didn't believe in atoms?
Hey, you know, that was before you could see them. And I didn't say, you know, all I was saying that was that atoms were a model for describing the particles that made up everything. And we knew that everything was made of smaller bits, but we didn't know... for sure that it was protons, neutrons, and electrons.
Well,
until
actually,
we saw them.
Yeah, we did before we saw them.
How did you know? It was only a model that worked. It wasn't actual.
No, it wasn't a model. It that sort of physics, as opposed to quantum physics, didn't come out of the model and then discovery ideology. It came out of the we discovered these particles because we could see them. We could detect them coming out of things when certain reactions happen.
Yeah, but you detect particles. You don't, you know, it's
Scott,
like...
Really, you can't ever see an atom because it's, you know, photons bouncing off of something is how you see.
Yeah, it's always a problem. We should try to fix that.
That's impossible to fix. You can't see. You can only represent based on data.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, all right, we keep trying to use vision. We keep trying to detect things by bouncing a photon off of it and then detecting the photon.
No, we don't do that at all. We try to detect it using other much more advanced sensory apparatuses.
Yeah, but how do those things work? I've always heard about these sensory things they use in accelerators. I've never actually heard about how they work or anything.
They're all very, very different. Like a neutrino detector, one way to do it is they have a big tank of water. Pure, pure, pure water. And if a neutrino goes through the water... the odds are it'll hit one of those water molecules and make a flash.
It actually flashes? Like, you can see it flash?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Or
like, I could just look at this bank tank of water and I'll see, like, psh.
I don't know if humans can see it. I think they need a camera to see it. I don't know how fast or powerful these flashes are.
That would have been much cooler if it was a real, like, a big, like, a flash bulb. That, you know, like, you take pictures.
Or, like, when they discovered positrons and all that sort of stuff, electrons, negatrons, they would set up photographic plates, and then they could see the spirals as the particles flew away from the reaction.
Oh, I remember seeing it. But, I mean, how did they think of this to begin with?
Science.
But I mean, who thinks of that? Hey, I'm smashing atoms here. Let me put a big tank of water next to it and see if anything happens in the tank of water.
I think the process was more, every time I collide these two atoms, a certain result happens. I wonder what's happening.
But how could they detect the result and know what it was before they made the detector?
Because they had other detectors that detected larger scale events. Like, if you run two atoms into each other, you can detect that energy is released. Was released. Where did the atoms go? And then you set up a thing like, well, I'll put this thing around it where if an atom hits it, it'll react in a certain way. And I know it reacts that way because I fired atoms at it and it reacts that way. So I'll put it around so I'll see if the atoms bounce off each other. Hey, they had never detected an atom. The atoms must have disappeared. So what did they turn into or where did they go?
The energy.
Maybe. Actually, they turned into energy and particles.
Well, you do math to figure out how much of it turned into energy. And then the rest obviously did not.
Something like that.
Yeah. Because, you know, E equals MC squared and such.
That's actually not the equation, you know.
I know. It has a lot. Well, it's actually, there's another version where it's like M equals something over.
No. E equals MC squared is a representation, but is a simplification of the actual equation, which is significantly more complex.
Well, there is, the whole thing is it's a large theory of relativity which has many equations encompassing it.
Well, E equals MC squared is just saying that either time or speed of light has to be constant. Einstein made the speed of light constant because that made his equations awesome. He could have done it the other way and it would have worked just as well, but he chose this way. And he was smarter than I was, so
well,
I'm going
What
with
it really
it.
Says is that, you know, mass has energy, a whole lot of energy in it.
No, it more just says that mass is energy.
It is energy, but it is a whole lot. In fact, it's C squared a whole lot.
Yeah, which in a grand scale isn't that
much. In a grand scale isn't that much, but in a human scale, that's a lot. I mean, you know, if you got all the energy out of like a piece of wood, all of it, all C squared of it, it's a lot of energy. You could probably power a city on that for like a week.
Yeah, but you know, keep in mind entropy. You really can't get that energy.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, the whole thermodynamics.
See, that's something we can do about science. If we can't argue about it, we can complain about it.
Yeah, stupid thermodynamics.
I mean, if I burn a piece of wood, I can't get all the heat. I mean, come on, I burnt it. It's all mine. Where's it going? It's my wood. Friggin' laws of physics stealing my fire.
Lisa, in this house, we follow the laws of thermodynamics.
Oh, I forget the quote.
Oh, busted, owned, pooned.
Whatever. I know it's from The Simpsons. Yeah, there was a whole thing recently about math in The Simpsons, how hard it was for them to get these math jokes in, because
I remember the first one. Remember way, way back when Bart went to the genius school, and there was the RDRR joke.
RDRR.
RDRR.
Yep.
Well, I remember laughing at that. I was real little when I saw that episode. And then I took AP Physics. And in AP Physics, we were calculating a Gaussian surface. And we were calculating the Gaussian surface of a donut-shaped object. And then I realized that the operative part of the equation we were using was RDRR. And then I realized that it was the shape of a donut. And I laughed for like at least a minute straight. And everyone was looking at me. And
Simpsons,
then I said,
donut.
I said, RDRR, hardy har har, and they're all geeks and they all got it. And then we just stopped working all day and laughed about that.
Yeah.
It was great.
There was I don't know this for 100%, but there was a tale of a mathematics teacher at a high school in the town over from mine, where some of my friends went to Fairfield High School. And they told a story that there was a teacher there, and he was a math teacher, and when his problems arrived at an answer involving the number 69, he would put a tally up above the of the board. And yeah, that's That's not as funny as RDRR.
No.
But it's definitely stranger.
Yeah. Actually, my calculus teacher in 10th grade, he pretty much, he said MK, I think, more times than he said any other word, including definite and indefinite articles.
Oh, I hate it. Especially when there's good teachers that say words over and over.
Yep.
Like, I had one teacher who would always say in essence. In essence, in essence, in essence. Everything was in essence. I was like, so nothing's for real. It's only in essence the same.
I had an English teacher who said quintessential at least twice a day.
Twice a day isn't so bad. I'm talking about, like, constantly.
The MK guy was terrible because he'd say it like, MK, and he'd expect some sort of response like, yeah, and then he'd keep going. But if no one said anything, he would quite literally stand in front of the classroom going, MK, MK, all right, MK. Okay, and then he'd move on, like he'd get stuck.
Some people got these problems.
Yeah.
Can science explain them?
Probably.
Maybe they should.
We should get a scientist in.
You know, I'm actually pretty sure that, you know, some of those problems, like ADD and such, like, I'm not a super expert, but at least from the few things I've read, there's no gene for ADD. There's no virus. There's no bacteria. It's no chemical.
Well, I think the problem here is more simply that I believe ADD is something that does exist and can affect people. I do believe, however, that it is wildly overdiagnosed and that many people who are told they have ADD are just, you know, kids.
Oh, my God.
Ah, maybe if we let him play on proper playgrounds. Yeah, because, I mean, when we were kids, we were already complaining about the decline of the playground. Because when we were kids, they were taking away the seesaws, and they were taking away the merry-go-rounds.
Actually, you know, I had it pretty good. At my elementary school, there were three playgrounds. And when I was in kindergarten, there was the old playground, and then there was the big toys, which is the new playground. The old playground consisted of some old-style swings, two long chains with a rubber seat, a sandbox, a spinny thing, two wooden splintery seesaws with metal handles,
ooh,
and this big square tower thing. It was a square tower, and you climbed up it various ways. It was just a big freaking tall rectangle structure. At the top, you could stand up there, and there was a railing, and there was a slide from up there to get down.
Uh-huh.
This thing was, like, at least 10 feet tall. It was pretty tall. Then the big toys was a big wooden thing, and they had the tires and the tube and a swirly plastic slide and some chains to climb up in
those plastic
net.
Slides were the worst things ever because they were
the
like
plastic slide was fun,
no,
and we got to go
a Van de Graaff generator. You'd go down that thing.
Oh,
then,
yeah. But they were still fun to go down.
Remember one time I slid down one and I went to stand up and I brushed my arm against a little like metal thing, like a little screw, and it shocked my arm so hard my arm was numb and I went crying to my mom and I couldn't explain what happened.
Yeah, but when we were little kids, the swirly yellow slide was still pretty good. Now, as big kids, we need the long metal slides to get any fun.
Yeah.
Or the carny slides.
But they're all going away.
I
mean, think about it. When we were kids, they were taking away the seesaws and all that stuff. I saw a few days ago, they're taking away swings now because swings are too dangerous.
So, if there's going to be no moving parts, what's the fun? You could just...
They're also taking away sandboxes because animals might do things in them.
You could use that white sand.
Eh.
Animals might do things on
anything.
They might just pee on the kids.
Hell, I've seen kids peeing on stuff, so.
Oh, my God. I remember nursery school. Some kid was peeing in the back of the nursery school playground, and I told him.
Whoa. One time in when I was in second grade, and I was in a Catholic school, and there was this kid named Pierre. He had problems.
Was he French?
No, he was not French.
Then why was his name Pierre?
His name was Pierre.
What the hell are those all parents right. thinking?
So anyway, one day, we're
kid's
going to
get
class,
picked on.
And he just peed.
In class?
He just sat there and he just unzipped and peed.
Wait,
sitting
he
in his
unzipped?
Desk. He unzipped and peed. He was sitting in his desk and he just peed.
Where did he pee? Did he just go on the floor?
Just went on the floor and started, because the classroom was kind of slanted, and started making his way toward the front of the room. And the teacher looked,
hey, what
the
about
teacher,
the other kids?
Who was a nun, looks... And says, who's got a drink? And no one says anything. And then everyone's looking. And we all everyone realizes at this point what has happened.
I never heard this story.
And no one wants to react to it. because no one's sure what to do. We're all second graders. We didn't even think to laugh because this was just too weird.
Second grade? Holy crap.
Second grade.
Holy crap.
And it was, you know, this was back before, you know, it would have been a biohazard because, you know, it wasn't, I was.
It's not a biohazard. It's sterile. It's sterile.
You realize now, if you get a tooth pulled by the dentist, you're not allowed to take it home in a lot of places because it's a biohazard.
I took it home.
So you know what the nun did? She made him get some paper towels and clean up his pee. And then we went back on with the lesson.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. She hit him, too, with the ruler a couple times.
That's not so right.
I was a Catholic school. They hit us. They hit me a lot because I was a smart ass.
I would have hit back.
I didn't hit back.
I would have hit back.
Because I'd always ask questions about science, and they'd give me God answers. And I'd ask for science answers, and then they'd hit me.
I always read stories. You ever read They Cage the Animals at Night?
No.
It's basically this guy's autobiography of his childhood. This is a sequel. And it's actually pretty sad because, like, his mom is all screwed up in traction all the time. And his brothers don't care for him. And he's always in, like, you know, foster houses and things. And it's terrible. And, you know, his life pretty much sucked as a child.
Uh-huh.
And he came to my middle school once and told us about it after we read it. And he cried, whatever, you know. Put on a show, I think. But, you know, it's true, basically. Well, one of the things is he's always in Catholic places where nuns would hit him a lot, you know? And I was always just like, you never hit back. You can't really. You're not you get my sympathy for some stuff, but not for that.
Yeah. It's hard to hit back because remember, when you're in second grade, you're a little kid.
So?
Those nuns are tall. They're strong. They're stronger than you
think.
They're
old ladies.
Nah, they weren't all old ladies.
If you push one over, they'll break their hip and you win.
Actually, some of them were pretty young.
If they're young, why are they hitting kids? They're not mean old ladies.
They're mean nuns.
You're mean and young?
I had
young.
A nice nun. There was one real nice nun who gave me some gerbils.
Gerbils?
Yeah, she had gerbils and she gave me a couple.
Uh-huh. How could you... I can't imagine like a 20, 30-year-old nun hitting kids.
Yeah, one nun, she was old, but she used a metal ruler. And everyone else used wooden rulers. And when she hit with that metal ruler, that was endgame.
Maybe it's because she was so old, she needed the metal one to... you know, spice it up.
Yeah, I only ever saw her actually hit a kid once, and the kid kind of deserved it.
You know, kids do deserve a hitting sometimes, but I don't think, you know,
I don't think the nuns
should be doling it out.
Yeah.
You know, actually, you know, the Singapore hitting is a little too hard.
I'm kind of an advocate of caning, because the more I see people doing stupid things... It'd be a great way to solve problems. If someone was stupid, if you just whacked them and said, hey, no.
See, the thing is, it's like, it's not really cruel or unusual. I mean, the caning they do is a little cruel because it's a little too much. But seriously, if someone, let's say someone robbed a convenience store, instead of locking them up in prison where they'll come out and just, you know, not change their mind or anything.
Or if anything, they'll learn how to rob one better from the people who are already in there.
Yeah. If you just whack them, right? Just not caning, but like... whipping or something like between spanking and caning.
Or just humiliate him. Just a good spanking.
Spanking's good.
The judge himself does it.
With a giant paddle. A paddle. Paddling. Ow. Paddling is good. Paddling of the swollen ass. That's how we get him. Right? It'll be so much cheaper. You know, and people
won't...
You know
why this won't happen? Because we do have the whole, you know, prison industrial complex going in the U.S. nowadays.
But the prison doesn't make us money. It loses us money.
Yeah, but the thing is, the prison exists. The prison system is huge.
Yep.
And a lot of people work for it. Everyone who works for the prison system has a vested interest in
it
still being there.
Well, we still need prisons, I mean, for, like, crazy murders.
Not as many as we do. You realize how many people are incarcerated in the United States? We have one of the highest per capita rates.
I think the highest.
Yeah, we have more people in prison per capita than communist, oppressive China.
We have more than Australia, which was a prison colony.
Well, isn't Australia 100%?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though we want to go there and they just won't let us.
You know, I think we got a topic for a Friday coming up, the prison industrial complex.
Prison industrial complex?
Because it's something I...
We totally lost science.
Yeah, we lost science, but we couldn't talk about science. We'll have to come up with a way to talk science.
I think we do have a problem of microphone close to the mouth, a little less far from the mouth, and you can see it on the wave getting bigger and smaller.
Well, we'll see if anyone complains when they listen to this.
I'm sure they will.
Wonder if anyone's still listening this far into it, because we got off on a tangent.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, Pete, if you hear this right now...
It's no good.
Say something.
That's no good.
Eh, We won't do that. We won't make a habit of that. But this podcast kind of went off on a crazy tangent. We went from science to a kid peeing to prison industrial complex.
Yeah, I think tomorrow and the next day will be a lot better, though.
Because we can argue about things. I like games you don't like. You like anime that
what?
I hate.
Yeah, maybe we should, you know, pick something else where we can talk about liking and not liking. Because that's really the only room for any real discussion.
Unless we made an informative Monday night. Like, today this is how to build a Linux box. Or this is how to use Jabber properly.
Yeah, I just think that might be a little boring. It sounds almost like a separate podcast we should do.
Yeah.
Let's get some suggestions from people we know.
Yeah, what do you want to hear? What should we add other than SciTech? Because we don't have so much SciTech. Anyway, that was Geek Night. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening music. Promotional consideration was provided by no one.